about the shear problem.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys for having me here. So I want to introduce a problem called the shear problem. Which is the following. So we're given a domain, omega, in Rn, which is open and bounded. And we'll call this the container. And then we're considering the following minimization problem. So we want to minimize the following quantity of perimeter of a set E over the volume of a set E among all sets E that are contained in this container omega. So we'll call this this minimum H omega, and this is the shear constant of the container omega. So, right off the bat, I'm writing minimum, not a priori, this is an infimum, because it's not clear immediately that a minimizer exists, but in fact, we'll see that it does. So a first step in just understanding what sort of set inside of E, or what kind of set E inside omega will minimize this ratio, the first thing that we should check out is how this ratio scales. So we want to minimize this ratio between perimeter and volume of sets E. So let's see how does this ratio of perimeter to volume scale? And that'll help us understand what sort of set E are going to minimize this ratio. So for this, okay, we'll R times a set E. This is just defined to be, we take R times X for each X in E. So this is just going to give us a dilation of set. So give me any set E, this is just R at the end minus 1 times perimeter of E. So this is how the perimeter scales. If I dilate my set by a factor of R, then the perimeter changes by a factor of R at the n minus 1. And then we can do the same thing for the volume to see how the volume scales. So if I take the volume of the set RE, this is just integrating the function 1 over the whole set RE. Since E is an n-dimensional set, then if I do a change of variables, the factor I get is R to the n times integral over E of 1. This is R to the n times volume of E. So if I dilate my set E by a factor of R, it changes the volume by a factor of R to the n. So then this says that we look at how this ratio of perimeter over volume scales. The perimeter of RE over RE is going to be R to the n minus 1. Perimeter of E over perimeter R to the n, volume of E. So these cancel and we're left with 1 over R times the perimeter of E over the volume of E. So how this ratio scales is like 1 over R. So what that means is that if I want to minimize it with no constraint, so say that omega, we're taking our container to just be Rn, which means that we can dilate sets as much as we want, then we can always make, we can make this ratio, perimeter of E over volume of E, arbitrarily small by considering RE for R large. Right, because this ratio, so perimeter of RE divided by the volume of RE is 1 over R, perimeter of E over volume of E, which goes to 0 as R goes to infinity. So that's to say, if we take our container to be Rn, this is not a very interesting minimization problem because this infimum would be 0. And, okay, we just can always take a larger and larger set. However, instead we're taking some bounded container. So that means we have this constraint which prevents us from just dilating a set arbitrarily. So instead we have some container, draw, like, so if omega is a square here, then if we take some set E and we just try to dilate it bigger and bigger to decrease this ratio, well, at some point we dilate it enough that we hit the boundary of this container and we can no longer dilate it, right? So if we want to understand what kind of set might minimize this ratio among all sets contained in omega in this container, then a first guess might be that, okay, we saw that we benefit by taking a set as large as possible, by dilating it as much as possible. So let me write something. So what kind of set minimizes this ratio? So a reasonable first guess might be, omega itself. Because, of course, omega is the largest set that I can fit inside of omega. So that's the set that's going to maximize the volume. But in fact, this is not the case. And the reason for that is because minimizing this ratio, we sort of have two factors at play that are going to balance each other. So to minimize this ratio, perimeter over volume, we have two factors at play. One, we have these scaling considerations. So that's exactly what we've observed, that we benefit from taking our set as large as possible. On the other hand, to minimize this ratio, we also want to consider qualitative properties. Of the set E that's going to minimize this ratio. In particular, to understand that, we should recall the isoperimetric inequality. So I'm erasing things and let me rewrite the important thing to keep in mind, which is the way that this scales. So maybe I'll put it right here. So just this useful fact to keep in mind is that perimeter RE over volume of RE scales like 1 over R times the perimeter of E over the volume of E. Okay, but so the other thing that's going to be relevant in minimizing this ratio comes from the isoperimetric inequality. Which says the following. It says that the perimeter of a set E is greater than or equal to the perimeter of BR, where R, so say this set E has volume M, and R is chosen so that this ball has the same volume. So let's say, if we're minimizing perimeter among sets of the same volume, the perimeter is minimized by the ball of that volume. So when we want to minimize this ratio, well, because of the scaling, we want to make the set as big as we can. On the other hand, we also want to take on sort of ball-like properties. So this is because qualitatively, this is what's going to minimize the perimeter. We have some sort of volume constraint because we're trapped inside of the container. So then with the isoperimetric inequality in mind, when we're asking ourselves this question, what kind of set minimizes this ratio? Okay, a second reasonable guess would be that the set that minimizes this ratio, also just a little bit of notation, let's say we call a set that achieves the minimum So that is a set, so that E, we call this, that is perimeter of E over volume of E is equal to this minimum, the Cheeger constant of omega. We call this the a Cheeger set. Of omega. Okay, so if we're trying to understand what this Cheeger set looks like, okay, in general, it's not going to just be omega itself, even though that's the largest subset. A second reasonable guess for what the Cheeger set would be is the largest ball. Contained in omega. Because, okay, we want it to be as large as possible, but we also want this isoparametric behavior qualitatively. But actually, this is also not the case. In basically because we have these two factors, one and two, that are balanced. The set E wants to balance the two minimizing factors. So, a couple of examples. If we have this domain that's a square, then we'll see I'll just redraw it. So, the minimizer of the Cheeger ratio inside of a square domain is going to mostly want to fill up the domain, but also have sort of isoparametric quality, so it will adhere to the boundary of the container along the flat sides. But then when it hits these corners, which are bad for perimeter, they add a lot of perimeter without adding enough volume, instead the Cheeger set will choose to round out. And then it will adhere to the boundary again, round out, and look like this. So this will be E, the Cheeger set. And so as you can see, sort of, it's balancing this, okay, scaling considerations. It wants to be the largest set contained in omega, while also taking on qualitative properties that look like a ball, that is, these rounding corners. So a couple other examples, just to get a picture in mind. If our domain is of a fat bow tie, then what the Cheeger set is going to do is adhere to the boundary for some of the bow tie, that is being as large as it can. But when it hits these corners, again, it's going to round out because this is going to be it's going to be worth saving perimeter on versus the amount of area that you don't, the amount of volume that you don't. Domain omega is like this bow tie. And then actually we see if we make this bow tie skinny enough, then what the behavior is going to be that minimizes this ratio is actually going to be, again, it's going to cut these corners and adhere to the container along these sides and again cut the corners near this skinny neck.
Set, or do we not require that the Cheeger set is connected?
Okay, that's a great question. So we do not require that the Cheeger set is connected. And that's a really good point of non-uniqueness. So let's call these two components E1 and E2. And so we'll let E be equal to E1 union E2. So the full set E is a Cheeger set. So E is a Cheeger set. of omega. So that's to say, this Cheeger ratio, this, or this Cheeger constant, the minimum ratio, is equal to the perimeter of E divided by the volume of E. But these two components are disjoint. So the perimeter of E is nothing but the perimeter of E1 plus the perimeter of E2. And similarly, the volume is nothing but volume of E1 plus the volume of E2. But this picture, well, if I had drawn it correctly, I mean, this picture should be completely symmetric. If this bow tie is completely symmetric, then the two components, E1 and E2, will just be mirror images of each other across this line. So they have the same perimeter and the same volume. So this is just twice the perimeter of E1 divided by twice the volume of E1. Okay, and then these two cancel. And so that tells us that perimeter of E1 over volume of E1 is also equal to the Cheeger constant. And so E1 is also a Cheeger set. Of omega. And of course, by symmetry, E2 is also a Cheeger set of omega. So actually that's a great question. We see an example here of non-uniqueness of the Cheeger set. And I'll mention a result in a little bit. In certain cases we do get uniqueness, but generally speaking, we don't. And actually, in this case, it was obvious because of the symmetry that if we have two components that each of them themselves are Cheeger sets, actually it happens if we didn't have such a symmetric domain, say, okay, let's draw a more uneven one. But if we have a Cheeger set that's disconnected, picture is not perfect. If the Cheeger set is disconnected, every component of the Cheeger set is itself a Cheeger set. So that's an exercise that you can probably do. So in general we don't get uniqueness, and whenever a Cheeger set is disconnected, we fail to have uniqueness. So let's see. Okay, so just understanding what a Cheeger set is going to look like, let's put down one proposition that is not too deep, but is a nice first observation. If E is a Cheeger set, of omega, then the intersection of the boundary of E and the boundary of omega is non-empty. Okay, so pictorially that means that if here's our container omega, then a Cheeger set is going to touch the boundary of omega somewhere. And why is this? So proof, let's say, suppose for contradiction that this intersection were empty. Boundary of E intersect boundary omega is empty. Then we have a little bit of space. So then our picture is that instead, here's our Cheeger set E, and we have a little bit of space left in our container. So we can find R that's bigger than 1, but small enough, close to 1, such that this dilation, RE, still remains inside the Cheeger set, inside of the container, right? Because if we don't touch the boundary, then we have a little bit of space to dilate our set slightly, still remaining inside of the container. And as we saw then, with the scaling of this problem, then the perimeter of RE is over the volume of RE, is 1 over R times the perimeter of E over the volume of E, which we claimed was the Cheeger constant, the minimum. So this is 1 over R times the Cheeger constant of omega. But R is bigger than 1. So 1 over R is strictly smaller than 1. So this is smaller than the Cheeger constant. The Cheeger constant was the minimum ratio among all subsets of our container. So this is a contradiction. Cool? Okay. So we're getting a little bit of information about what a Cheeger set looks like. It definitely has to touch the boundary of our container. Now, actually determining, so I drew some explicit examples, and especially in R2 we do have explicit examples, but in general, understanding what the Cheeger set looks like is a hard problem, and it's not something that can be done in general. But in certain cases, we do get more information. And the first case that I'll mention is the following, which I won't prove, but I'll say is that, let's see, if omega is convex, so this is in any dimension in Rn, then the Cheeger set is unique. Convex set, then we definitely will eliminate this kind of behavior that we saw with the bow tie, where we could have a disconnected Cheeger set, and in fact, yes, we have uniqueness. And if we're in dimension 2, we can actually say a lot more. So, if omega is a subset of R2, and it's convex, then, okay, well, first of all, the Cheeger set is unique. And furthermore, we know exactly what the Cheeger set is. It takes the form. Okay, now I stop mid-sentence to introduce a definition. Let me define something, and then we'll say exactly what the Cheeger set looks like. Okay, and the definition that we need is a set sum. Chalk is metal. So let me define what it means to take the Minkowski sum of two sets. So if we have two sets, A and B, okay, this holds in Rn, even though this result will be stated for R2. So if we have two sets in Rn, then we define the Minkowski sum, or sometimes it's called the set sum, of A and B, to just be the A plus B points for all little a in the set A and little b in the set B. So this is a way to think of adding two sets. So just an example, if we look at, say, here's our set A, and let's take B to be a ball. This is where it's easiest to visualize what's going on. Then, okay, around every point in A, around every little a, I'm going to add in a ball's worth of points. So for interior points, I won't really see it because these points are already in my set. But so for every boundary point, that's where I'm really going to see this, I have add a ball of whatever radius this is. So in this way, you see I can get a dilation of my set. And I'll draw a second example that shows it's not the same as just taking dilation. We get things smoothed out a lot. So for example, let's go back to this bow tie. So if I have a set like this as A, and let's keep B as a ball. So here, around every point in A, I'm adding in a ball. So here, fine. Put a ball. And here is just sort of dilating my set. Here, okay, I put a ball here, and it's sort of going to eliminate this corner. It's going to round it out. I put balls around everything, and also these exterior corners, so these convex corners. I'm putting a ball here, and so I'm dilating my set, and I'm also rounding it out. And so this is the behavior you get, especially when you take the Minkowski sum of any set with a ball. This operation is defined between any two sets. So with this definition in hand, let me resume where I stopped mid-sentence. So if omega is a container in R2 that is convex, our Cheeger set is unique, and it's exactly of the form E is equal to omega R Minkowski sum BR, where omega R is the set of points X in omega, such that the distance from X to the boundary of omega is at least R. And this value of R is going to be the one such that the volume of omega R is equal to pi R squared. So now, with this proposition in hand, we can draw a little bit more precise of a picture of the Cheeger set that I showed you for the ball, or for the square. So if our container omega is a square, then what does this proposition tell us? So the Cheeger set is going to be unique, and it's given in the following way. First, we look at this omega r, so the set of points that are distant at least r from the boundary of omega. So here, okay, so for a square, that's just actually going to be a smaller square. So this is for some r, this is distance r. And I keep taking this smaller and smaller until I hit this threshold. So let me draw it. A slightly smaller one. Okay, so this is distance r. And then I take the Minkowski sum with the ball of radius r. So along points here, since this is distance r, then this ball of radius r is going to fill up all the way to the boundary. So here I have the ball of radius r around every point. Now here, once I hit a corner, I'm not going to make it all the way to the corner of my container omega, because this point is distance d to the boundary in this direction and this direction. So when I put the ball of radius r around it, you can see here I'm going to miss sweeping out this whole corner of the ball. So in this way, this is, as we saw, what we're going to sweep out here is we get the whole size of omega for the most part, and then we cut these corners, and we have it'll be a circular arc. And so this is what our Cheeger set E is going to look like. Another point is that this R is uniquely determined, because let's check out, we're taking the R such that the volume of this omega R is equal to pi R squared. Well, okay, let's graph these as a function of R. So the volume of omega R, well, when R is equal to 0, the points that are distance at least 0 from the boundary of omega, that's the entire volume of omega. So here's, say, volume of omega. And so this is going to be a decreasing function of r, not necessarily linear. It depends on the geometry of the domain. But so the volume of this omega r set is decreasing in r. On the other hand, so that's this left-hand side, the right-hand side is pi r squared, so this is an increasing function. This is growing quadratically. Here's pi r squared. And so these cross a unique point, and that's going to be exactly the value of r for which I make this construction. So as to say, as soon as, if you have a convex set in R2, you can actually explicitly write down what this Cheeger set is going to be. Okay, so there are a I'll just mention this as an aside. This kind of characterization exists for convex sets. This kind of characterization will fail in general. Especially, okay, this gives you, we've already seen the example that we have non-uniqueness. So if we have non-uniqueness, then it won't be the case that we have, I mean, this defines a unique Cheeger set. But there are also, so this is just a side remark. Is that there's another class of domains in R2 for which this Cheeger formula holds. Yeah, so everything is called Cheeger something. This is called the Cheeger formula. There's another class of domains, and they're called strips. And so basically, if omega is a rectangular strip, and that essentially means that omega is a wavy rectangle. So you can basically, how these are constructed is you just take any C1 curve that you want and then cross it with an interval of radius 1, or of length 1 at every point. If you have a domain like this, then the same Cheeger formula holds. So here, even though you don't have a convex domain, you'll still get this full characterization of the Cheeger set. Okay, so now I want to bring up sort of looking at this problem from another perspective. So here we're minimizing, so what we've done so far is we said fix a container omega in Rn, and we want to minimize this ratio among all subsets of omega. And we try to understand what this Cheeger set E would look like. But another perspective, is to vary the domain, or vary the container. And we can ask the question, like, what is the minimum value? This Cheeger constant. So this is looking at things now from another perspective. We're no longer concerned about what set inside of omega minimizes the ratio, but instead what kind of containers are the best for making this ratio as small as possible. And sort of for the same reason we saw before, we're going to say we have to put some kind of constraint to make this problem interesting. And this is true for a lot of variational problems, is that if you're just minimizing some quantity with no constraint whatsoever, you may not get interesting information. But once you add some kind of constraint, it becomes an interesting problem. So we need some kind of constraint. And let's see why. We saw the scaling before, that this Cheeger ratio scales like 1 over r. So I can just take, the minimum of the Cheeger constant for all domains or all containers omega in Rn is going to be equal to 0. Why? Because given a container omega with Cheeger set E, then if we just dilate this container and make it bigger, then we're just going to dilate this Cheeger constant by a factor of 1 over r. So we can keep with our example of the square. Here's the Cheeger set of the square. So H omega is equal to the perimeter of E over volume of E. And so then if I just dilate this square by a factor of r, then h of r omega. given by the perimeter of the dilated shear set, because I'm doing nothing but zooming in on this picture. So nothing in the geometry changes. And as we saw before, this goes like 1 over R times perimeter of E over volume of E. That is 1 over R times the Cheeger constant of omega. So this would just go to 0 as R goes to infinity. So, okay, if we want to find what the smallest Cheeger constant is among all domains, okay, it's an infinite moment at 0. But we can consider instead what is the minimum that the Cheeger constant can be if we consider all domains that have some fixed volume. So instead, we look at the minimum of this Cheeger constant omega for domains omega in Rn, again open and bounded, and that have some volume constraint. So fix some m, and let's look at containers that have volume m. And what we see there is something that's called the Cheeger inequality, and it is reminiscent of the isoperimetric inequality. If we look at this minimization problem, we find that this is minimized by the ball of radius r, where r is chosen, so that this ball has volume m. So another way to state that is the same way that we state the isoperimetric inequality. The Cheeger constant of any domain is greater than or equal to the Cheeger constant of Br for all omega with the volume of omega equals m equals Br. Okay, so in the remaining time, let's see how to prove this, starting with the isoperimetric inequality. Over the volume of Br, because that's one possible set that we can minimize over. right? It actually turns out that for ball, this is an equality. Okay, so with these in hand, then let's show, so now we want to show that the Cheeger constant of omega is greater than or equal to the Cheeger constant of Vr. That is to show the Cheeger inequality. So the Cheeger constant of omega is, we chose E to be a Cheeger set of omega. So the perimeter of E over the perimeter, or over the volume of E. Okay? By the isoperimetric inequality, this is greater than or equal to, okay, let's just copy down this volume of E, that's just, we're leaving it constant. The perimeter of E is bigger than or equal to the perimeter of the ball with the same volume. So this is greater than or equal to the perimeter of B little r. That's how we chose little r. And since we chose little r to have the same volume as E, let me just rewrite the denominator as the volume of B r. Cool? So now we go back to looking at how these quantities scale. So B r is, okay, is just a dilation of the ball of radius 1. This is exactly little r, the n minus 1, times the perimeter of B1 over little r to the n times the volume of B1, the ball of radius 1. Okay, these cancel, and again, we have, this is 1 over r. And now we use the fact that, okay, capital R is greater than or equal to little r. So 1 over little r is greater than or equal to 1 over capital R. And then I'll just copy down B1, perimeter of B1, volume of B1. And by the exact same scaling that we used to get from here to here, this is nothing but the perimeter of B capital R over the volume of B capital R. Right, because this 1 over capital R is r to the n minus 1 over r to the n. And as we observed, this ratio, okay, Vr is one possible candidate to minimize for this ratio for the Cheeger constant of Vr. So this is greater than or equal to the minimum of this constant. And there you go. So with this chain of inequality, we've shown that the Cheeger constant of omega is greater than or equal to the Cheeger constant of the ball of the same size. So if you want to optimize this Cheeger constant among all containers of a fixed volume, then you do the best when your container is a ball. Okay, cool. And I think that's a good place to stop. So thanks very much. Actually, so here's kind of an interesting result. So, this result I'm about to say, in some sense, says that it kind of says that most, or at least like a dense, not really a mathematical set, but a large set of domains do have uniqueness, and it's the following: if E is a Cheeger set of omega, then there exists omega prime, so another domain, such that omega contains omega prime, but this also contains E, and E is the unique Cheeger set of omega prime. So if you ever have non-uniqueness, so the instance that we saw was with this bow tie, here we had non-uniqueness because we had the Cheeger set E1, or the Cheeger set E2, or the union of the two, then what this result says is that, okay, in this case, So here, the bow tie is our omega. You can find some smaller omega prime. In this case, for instance, you could take like this subdomain and call it omega prime, for which this set E is the unique Chigger set. No. So the converse is not true, and in fact, this kind of says that there are lots. That's of course not really a precise, not in a precise sense, but there are lots of sets that do have unique Chigger sets.
You said something about the Minkowski sum of sets adding the smoothnesses together in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, when the two sets, when one of the two sets are nice.
Right. So I don't know if this is that well formulated, but I was wondering if in a distant sense this is somehow related to convolution of two functions adding differentiabilities.
I would say, even in a lot of ways, yes. Taking, especially like taking the Minkowski sum with a ball, is
right.
In a lot of ways like convolving your set. Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you make things, so if you take some rough set. And you take the Minkowski sum with balls to smooth things out, and then you take the radii of these balls smaller and smaller, then you're going to get something that's smoothed out, but a better and better, it will get closer and closer to your original set. Yeah, these things are related.
Is there like a nice relationship between the Chigger problem on like spaces and the Chigger problem on graphs?
Okay, I don't know.
Oh.
Is the Chigger problem on graphs? I'm not familiar with that.
You just take a subset of the vertices, and you look at all the neighboring vertices to that subset of subsets, and you look at the ratio of that set of neighbors to the actual size of the set. And so, like, on a z to the d, that'll be 0. You just take large balls. But on, like, the free group, it's going to be, like, 1 over d minus 1 or something like that.
Okay, so the short answer, I don't know.
Okay.
But that sounds like, so wait, so tell me again, so...
So you have a graph of your vertices with connected by edges,
okay.
And you just look at like the same thing. You look at the minimum size of, or the minimum of the ratio of, you take a subset of the vertices, and you look at all the neighbors
okay.
of those vertices that aren't in the set.
Okay.
So it's just sort of a boundary.
Of vertices.
So in this case, the boundary would be that one point left, because those are the only neighbors
okay.
That aren't in the set. And then you look at the ratio of the size of that set to the size of the vertices you took.
Okay.
So it's like a ratio of perimeter to, or size of the boundary to the interior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I'm not familiar with this problem at all, but it does sound like this is essentially a way to talk about perimeter and volume on graphs.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, yeah, it sounds like the same type of problem. No, I don't know what kind of results people have for those,
mm-hmm.
that problem. But that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that.
Thanks.
Well, if there are no more questions, let's thank the speaker again.